Mesdames et Messieurs, today, coming to you live on the Triple M Worldwide Network, on bass, Santo Chalaro, on drums, Sam Pang, and on a very big synthesizer, Tom Gleisner. So jump on board the Five Ring Express. It's time for the Rush Hour, going for gold.
All right. Okay. Are you psyched up, Sam?
I'm ready to go, Sam.
I'm in
ready.
The zone. I'm in the zone. Here you go.
Yes.
We're going to try and do this show intro in under 9.64 seconds.
Wow, okay.
We're going to try and do this, okay?
How are you feeling?
I'm set.
All right.
I'm set. I'm doing my little gesture to the crowd. That's my little signature thing.
Yeah.
Now, here you go. Have you got the starter's gun ready?
I do.
Okay.
Are you ready to go?
In your own time. Coming up on the Rush Hour, going for gold.
All the news from a big weekend of action in London.
Danny Frawley over in Adelaide.
Damien Barrett with all the latest in AFL.
Funny man Lawrence Mooney.
Tom and Tommy G's quiz.
All that and a whole lot more on the Rush Hour, going for gold.
Stop the clock.
How do we go?
Not bad. 14.4 seconds.
Oh, that's a PB. It's a PB.
Someone threw a bottle at me halfway through.
I thought our changes weren't as smooth as we usually get them.
There's always Rio.
There is always Rio. We'll be back after this.
This is the Rush Hour, going for gold on 105.1 Triple M. Sam Pang and Santo Chalaro.
It certainly is. Here you go. And as always, it's time for a
London update.
So much news. Where do we start, Samuel?
Asafa Powell's beard. Yeah. Do you want to start there?
And he did the little squint too before he started. That was his little signature movement, the squint.
Let's start at the 100 metres.
I just wanted to congratulate the fastest man on earth, Matthew Primus. From the coach's box to the dressing room, I reckon it was 9.3 seconds.
It was definitely a PB and it may have been an AFL record.
I don't know what was quicker. The meeting that he had the next day to the exit of the club, that might have been even faster.
Wow.
You worry when he went and had talks with key officials. I think that's because he's got to give the keys to the office back.
Poor wow,
but anyway, let's go back to the 100 metres. The 100 metres was, it was like a sensational race.
9.64 seconds was what Usain Bolt did.
Yeah, and he came out of the block slow.
Yes, he did, exactly. The big news, not the big news, but an interesting stat was that 7 of the 8 competitors all finished under 10 seconds, which is a pretty impressive effort. Asafa Powell did his groin and still did it in 11.10, but that's the first time in Olympic history that has happened.
It's incredible. And you knew it was over early when Joffa put his jacket on at the 7-second mark. It was all over. They were chanting.
Yeah. The plastic beer bottle, this was the news before, as according a man threw a plastic bottle of beer onto the track just moments before the race.
I actually saw it happen. As they were leaving, I saw what the hell is being thrown at the back, but I actually saw that happen.
And according to a police report, nobody was injured during the incident event and the suspect is being held in a London police station. And I thought Nick Darcy had gone overseas, but apparently he was still there.
No, he and Josh are still there. But the thing is that the Edith Bosch, a bronze medal winner in judo, told Dutch TV she was standing behind the man when he shouted insults at Bolt before hurling the bottle towards him. The Dutch athlete said she had slapped him around the head before he was taken away by police. A person you don't want to stand next to is a Dutch medalist.
How
in
unlucky!
Judo.
How unlucky for that silly man. What took your eye, though, in terms of the race?
To tell you the truth, what took my eye before the race even started, there was a huge build-up on Channel 9 starting in the morning with Karl Stefanovic. Did you see that when he was sitting around with Linford Christie, Michael Johnson and Daley Thompson?
Yeah, the big four.
Stefanovic couldn't have been more white. He could not have been more white. Those guys were rapping away looking fantastic and he was going, yeah, yeah. That's right.
The just moment before... tense moment, though, just before the start of the race, of course, as 4 years in the build-up. I did enjoy the different ways that the athletes prepared, though.
They have their own little signature. I noticed that Johan Blake did the tiger that kind of he curled his fingernails up in a threatening way, and Usain Bolt did both hands rubbing the top of his head. And I do remember Magnussen in the swimming. He sort of put the both... both hands around the throat and did that sort of choking sound.
So we should have picked them. Well, I noticed this way back in in the heats on Saturday night. Yeah, yeah. The Japanese sprinter, he did a little bow.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And of course, the US was all razzle dazzle, and the Jamaicans did their things that, like you said. Mm. It's interesting that Derek Atkins from the Bahamas was there.
Yeah.
And it was funny that I just, as the camera went to him, I just pictured him. I thought, he should be holding a drink with an umbrella in it. And just as they say, on your marks, he throws it over his shoulder and then he starts running. I just thought that's how the Bahamas should have started their 100 meters.
I wonder how St. Kitts.
Well, this was the big controversy on Saturday night.
He's a world champion. What's his name?
Kim Collins. Kim Collins has been sent home by St. Kitts and Nevis, the Olympic Federation. On Saturday night, there was a heat, I think it was heat 5, and the lane was empty because he had been withdrawn from the games for visiting his wife at a hotel the night before.
Oh, yes.
That's true.
Yes, 2 hours. And the story broke when he tweeted about it just 2 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. And his quote was, "I'm a grown man with kids, and apparently he wants more." And I just think it's such a shame for that. He carried the flag at the opening ceremony for St. Kitts and Nevis.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you believe this or not, but I think that if he'd got through, he would have won.
Really?
So I look at it as we've been robbed of an opportunity, because if Kim Collins had made it, he would have beaten Usain Bolt. He would have been standing on the podium, and we would have got to hear. Have you ever heard the St. Kitts and Nevis national anthem?
No, I'd love to hear it.
Here it is.
Oh, St. Kitts! St. Kitts! To be with my missus on the night before I race.
The Rush Hour, going for gold, Sam Pang and Santo Chilaro.
Boy, wasn't that a toe-tapper, Sam? Mm, that was a real toe-tapper.
Who was that, Tigger?
Pennywise.
I love him.
The toe-tapping big band, that's who it was.
And now let's keep going with our London update.
Hang on, with our...
London update.
Hey. What's going on here?
What are you doing, Sam?
I'm still recovering from the fact that Lupdate has been... something's happened to Lupdate over the weekend. Now, of course, a phrase that we're getting very used to, no medals for Australia overnight, but... you know, there's still plenty that happened on the weekend.
Well, lots of silver medals. That's lots of silver. Which is pretty good. Steve Solomon qualified for a 400-meter final. That's a sensational effort.
I don't know what it says about me, though, on Saturday night, that even though we're doing this show and there was Olympics on 16 stations, I still managed to sneak in a little bit of Die Hard 2 on Channel 10. That John McClane, he can do anything, Santo.
The Stingers have got through to the semis in the quarter in the water polo. The Opals, they're through the quarters, I believe. And there was a suggestion of tanking, perhaps, from one of their opposition teams. Michael Diamond, he's looking good. The only person to hit every target in the first three rounds of the men's trap.
Get to it. Get to the sailing.
The sailing, of course. We're looking good in the sailing.
Outheridge and Jensen, they're going to be household names in about, you know, as long as their ship doesn't sink in the 49er, the sailing. But, yeah, there's plenty to be...
Oscar Pretorius. He's out, but the Blade Runner, or the fastest man on no legs, reached the semi-final of the 400 metres, the first double amputee to run in the games. I heard an ABC commentator use the expression, great feet. Well, they're made from carbon fibre, so...
I tell you what, the big news over the weekend for me is that finally the swimming is over.
Yes.
Because that seemed just to be, it's sucking the life out of a nation.
And there was something half-hearted about that guard of honour, wasn't there, when they were just going underneath that?
But Liesl Jones's final swim, she picked up a silver medal as part of the relay team.
Mm-hmm.
And James Magnussen and the boys, they picked up a bronze. US, of course, with Michael Phelps and the all-conquering US team. We got a bronze. We couldn't get past that swimming powerhouse of Japan. We couldn't get past them, but... That's how they finished. And, of course, all the stories and all the coverage about the swimming is now about their celebrations. Have you seen this?
Is it the last lap? Is this at the nightclub?
The Aussie Olympic hotspot, the last lap. Now, I know that the Aussie swim team didn't have a great performance, but I thought it was a bit harsh when the owner of the nightclub made them line up. That's Stephanie Rice only got in because of the one in, one out policy.
I'm impressed by the they didn't, their tally board wasn't very good in the pool, but their tally board at the nightclub, they managed to pick up 24 Swedes, 17 Italians, 8 Argentinians, and 2 communicable diseases.
That is
they're doing
big,
well. We have the girls going.
The girls did well. They picked up 3 American swimmers, 2 Chinese weightlifters, and an official from Kazakhstan. So the women, they held up their end.
Well, that must have been a weightlifter.
At the tally room. Just finally, that to me, that the swimming is over is the good news there, Santa.
It is great news. And
Michael Phelps retired. He's finished 650 gold medals. He's officially done.
So was it 20 medals altogether?
22 medals, 18 gold, I think. Is,
yeah, do you reckon it's that good?
It's all right. If you're at 3 Olympics, who wouldn't do it? Of course, they gave him. What do you think the Olympic Committee gave him as a present?
Oh, some certificate of participation.
That's about it. Mitchell Watt. Just a congratulations to Mitchell Watt because he picked up a silver medal in the long jump.
He did, and he did quite well. So congratulations to all our Aussie heroes over there, and continued success.
Stay with us here. This is the Rush Hour Going for Gold. We're going to catch up with Damien Barrett with all the big news in the AFL next. This is the Rush Hour Going for Gold. While JB and Bill are in London on board, we have Santo Chilara and Sam Pang.
Sam, what a massive weekend it was in football. Huge.
There was. GWS's big win for Kevin Sheedy's 1,000th game.
1,000th. The amazing game between Hawthorn and Geelong. Absolute fantastic game, as was the St Kilda Collingwood game.
But
huge story emerged today concerning the Western Bulldogs. The man who broke the story is Triple M's own Damien Barrett. He's currently down at AFL headquarters in King Street. Damien, are you there?
Yeah.
What's happened, mate?
Yeah, well, Tom Liberatore, the young Bulldog, who is a NAB Rising Star nominee and a very promising player and someone who the Bulldogs are pinning their future on, went out pretty late the other night after they lost to North Melbourne on Saturday and was found by police at 3:30 a.m. in King Street yesterday in a state of unconsciousness. He was going in and out of consciousness. And, yeah, they also found some illicit substances on him. Look, his health is okay. So, I mean, there is a welfare component to this, which is a serious one, but there is no fear for his health and safety around this particular incident. It's a young guy out in the town using drugs.
And by all accounts, he sounds like a pretty good kid.
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly been no reason for the Bulldogs to this point to have any fear that he was out there doing, you know, things like this on a regular basis.
So he's been placed in what they call a diversion program by police. So does that mean he won't be charged?
Yeah, that's how it'll play out here. So, you know, they gave us a statement yesterday, and at that stage they hadn't been able to question him because a member of his family took him home, and that may well have been his dad, Tony. Not sure about that, but certainly a family member took him away from the scene where I think where the police found him. They subsequently needed to speak to him, which they've now done, and the new statement they gave us today related to a 20-year-old from that area in Essendon and where he lives, and he said that he'd been placed on a diversion program. I suppose the footy component to this one is, though, guys, I mean, under the AFL's illicit drugs policy, this will constitute as a strike. Normally, we never find out the names of the players who have the strike, so to speak. Normally, as we know, that's a confidential policy. But once the police are involved and once it becomes public, obviously, it is public. And as such, he will be target tested as a result of having that strike.
And what have the Bulldogs said about this? Is there will there be any kind of suspension, anything there?
Yeah, they've ruled him out for playing for the rest of the year. I mean, it's already around 20, so it doesn't sound as grave as it would have had it been a round 8 or 9 situation. He's not allowed to be around the club. He has to find himself an occupation or a job for that period. And I mean, it's going to be a couple of programs that they mean to go through, but it hasn't been at all a good year for the Bulldogs. On the field, obviously, they've only won the 5 games. They've also dealt with an assistant coach who had a drink driving incident at the start of the year that had Will Minson, involved in a racial situation on field. So they're having a really, really poor time of it. While Port Adelaide's been the club in the past 24, 48 hours, it's really copped it. I think if you delve a little bit deeper at the Bulldogs. They're going through a similarly poor period on a number of fronts as well.
Damien, just before we kind of move on from the Western Bulldogs story, just with to Port Adelaide, do you have a front runner in terms of their new coach? I know Gary Hocking's taking over to the end of the year. What's your news there?
So just on that, I reckon we're all in the media and we always do it, don't we? We frame markets ourselves and we always place someone in as a front runner. I think what we learned and what we probably need to learn out of is what happened last year when the clubs that required a new coach, you know, Melbourne being one of those clubs, St Kilda being another one, Adelaide being another one. Now, in the end, it's fair to say that we didn't get, none of us in the media got those decisions right, even on, you know, right up until basically the day of their announcement. So I think, obviously, you throw around some names, but I don't think anyone could possibly be put in as favourite in any serious form. The strong feeling now is that they will go outside of being a Port Adelaide person. They've tried that. In fact, before him it was Mark Williams, and before him it was John Cale. So they've always gone internally. The strong thought is they'll go outside that, but I think that then also brings itself a problem, because how are you going to entice someone of real quality into what is best described as a rabble is going to be a challenge. I mean, someone who's got a lot to offer the game is not going to willingly and want to go to Port Adelaide. So that's the situation they're in. But as we saw, the chairman or the president of the club, Brett Duncanson, also announced his resignation at the same time. And I think that's a good thing. Not because he's a bad operator. It's just that I think the problems at the club go way, way beyond who they choose as coach. It's in a real delicate stage, guys. I mean, the support of the club and for the club is significantly down to embarrassing levels. And the money situation is not at all good. And I just think it's I know it's a real concern to the AFL as to where that particular club is headed. And any decision they make now, even at that top level of president, will have a lot of AFL fingerprints over it. And I think rightly so, because they've given the club a lot of money in recent times to help them through some tough periods.
Okay, just in summarising, Mick Malthouse, the coach, Port Adelaide next week, next year. Thank you very much, Damien Barrett, for breaking that news, mate. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
See you, buddy.
Damien Barrett from Triple M Football joining us there. We're going to stay with the AFL in just a moment when we catch up with Danny Frawley. The Rush Hour going for gold. Senta Chilaro and Sam Pang.
Yes, thanks, Higo. Big news in the footy world today. Port Adelaide parting ways with their senior coach, Matthew Primus. And Triple M footy and CEO of the AFL Coaches Association, Danny Frawley, flew to Adelaide and he joins us on the phone. Spud, what's going on over there, mate?
Good afternoon, boys. Yeah, it's a bit... been a busy couple of days over here at Port Adelaide. Obviously, Matty Primus had a clause in his contract. He had a three-year deal when he signed 2 years ago, and the third year is to be activated at the club's discretion of Matty's. And obviously, Matty wanted to go on, and the club, after the debacle on Saturday, decided to tell Matthew yesterday that the further year extension would not be entered into. Gave him an option to coach out the last four games. It's pretty tough doing that once you know you're sort of no longer required for the following season. Matty decided to part ways and sever the ties as of this morning. And, it's been a tough 48 hours for Matthew, and that's probably the life of a senior coach, unfortunately.
And, of course, no one would know that better than you, mate, and CEO of the AFL Coaches Association. What is your role now, mate? What did you do?
Look, we've got some really good consultants behind us. We've got about four or five staff. But, you know, in days gone by, I remember my time at Richmond, they're only talking, 7 or 8 years ago, you leave the club and you look around, you start kicking an empty Coke can along the ground and picking a few leaves off the tree, and you thought, what's next? But we've got some fantastic people behind the scenes to help Matty, and probably his first and foremost. A lot of people say, well, what's Matty going to do next? Well, he coached at that Port for 10 years. It's pretty tough when that's taken away from you. So the first thing he's going to do is look after himself and his family and take a little bit of a break and get away from it.
And Danny, I think that the coaches really do appreciate what you do, because this is what Matty Primus had to say today.
There's more just being here today. I think the Coaches Association's turned into a powerful group and it's getting better and better, and the support that they give coaches, not just senior ones, but all assistants there running the industry is pretty good. So he's just here for that support.
So well done there. And tell me, Danny... when Matty sort of, it's quite well documented now, he didn't stay to the end of the game. Did he know that the writing was on the wall before the end of the day? What actually happened there at the end of the game?
Yeah, well, look, it's a hard one to, I had a brief chat to Matthew about that, Santos, and it's a tough one because, look, at the end of the day, you're only human, and he would have known more than most that, you know, the next 2 weeks is crucial for his coaching career going forward. And the last thing he expected and the players expected was the debacle that we all saw up at Skoda Stadium where GWS, you know, had a great win, let's face it, it was 730,000th game, and that was the last thing he expected, and I think he copped a lot of criticism for sort of leaving the coaching box two minutes beforehand, but I suppose he was sort of gathering his thoughts, what am I going to say to the media, because no, he's not retired, you can get up and say it was unacceptable. And I suppose a lot of people looked at that no more than the board of Port Adelaide and say, well, yeah, we probably have to make a decision here. And obviously it wasn't the affirmative for Matty. And, you know, he's not going to be the first. He won't be the last that it happens to. And,
right.
And, you know, unfortunately, that game will go down as the day that Matthew obviously lost his coaching career at Port.
And of course, just before I let you guys, but the other news is that, of course, Gary Hocking will serve as the caretaker coach at the end of the year if you're just joining us. And, Spud, you mentioned about what's next for Matty Primus. Coach of the Aussie swim team, is a massive chance of taking that up. I've got that first-hand knowledge, Spud. So all's looking good for Matty. But as always, yeah, thanks for joining us, mate.
Good on you guys. Look, I must admit, I'm not sure how many weeks you guys have got to go, but I think Billy and Jay might have to come down to the Coaches Association themselves because they may be without a job too, the way you boys are going at the minute.
We'll let them know as soon as we can.
Good on you,
Seth. Thanks, bud. Teams around Melbourne reckon they're built for the finals challenge. Can your team handle it?
There's still time to register your team for the Ford Ranger final series.
I've got no idea what that means. It doesn't matter what sport you play. Register the Ford finals call team featuring Luke Darcy.
Who?
Luke Darcy, he could head to your ground, court, or pitch to commentate a game of your finals.
So, think your team's up for the Ford Ranger final series?
Sign up at fordrangerfinals.com.au.
Ford Ranger, built for any challenge.
Sorry, Mossy, we need a bit of time here. It's the rush hour.
That's un-Australian, Higger.
I know it is.
Cannot do that.
Oh, my.
105.1 Triple M.
You can't just stop an Australian crawl song like
that. I didn't
that.
Stop it. It's still going.
Anyway, it's...
Oh, chisel.
Do we actually have to officially wait for it to finish?
I do, yeah.
This is like watching the end of the marathon when you have to watch everyone finish.
This is the rush hour. Going for gold. 105.1 Triple M. Champagne. Sendo Chilara.
Hang on. There's still a Samoan girl coming. Anyway, this is a special part of the show where we get to introduce our special friend. Music, please. It's time for Tommy G.
Thank you,
Tom,
Santa.
How are you?
Excellent, thank you,
Santa. Tommy,
nailed
your interest to see you all weekend.
Have you
been watching the Olympics still?
Just, I'm hanging in there, but just quickly, latest on Tom Liberatore. I've got an update. He's been suspended for the rest of the season, as you know, fined $5,000 and banned from working as a Qantas pilot for at least a year.
Wow. Cannot do that, cannot do that.
That's just breaking.
You know what I worry about?
Topical stuff, Tommy.
Damien said that he wasn't in police custody because a family member came to get him, presumably or possibly his father, Tony. Now, coming from an Italian family, I don't know where you're safer in police custody.
Or your old man.
Or with your old man at 3:30 in the morning.
That'd be a fairly testy ride home in the valley.
God, Tom.
We are, just quickly, we're heading, of course, into day 10. And look, I'm still loving the games. I think everyone's enjoying them.
Yes.
But I'd say musically, we've gone from to something more like this.
I'm in London still.
It's just
gone,
a little mellow.
It's gone a bit mellow.
It's a little mellow.
That is a good way to sum it up.
I notice even the official Australian Olympic website now has a clock counting down how long until the closing ceremony. That sort of stuff. And even Foxtel have updated their promo.
I've been training for the Olympic Games for the last 12 years.
Gold to me is everything.
Or silver.
Bronze.
I'm just happy to be there.
I'm not going there to come second.
What's wrong with second?
Or third?
Nothing indeed. But look, just quickly, of course, last night was, early hours of this morning, to be accurate, the big one, the 100-metre race. And, Sam, we were talking about, well, there's something about this. It's the event, isn't it?
Well,
it's the Blue Ribbon event.
It is the Blue Ribbon.
Or is it the race that stops the nation? Because I've heard that one pumped out as well.
No, I think that belongs to another race.
Yeah.
But it is the closest athletes get to behaving like US rappers. You know, you get the bling
and the
swagger and the track work in the crowd. It's one of the few events I think there could be a drive-by shooting and no one would really notice all that much.
Well, there is at the start.
It's true, and then it gets pretty fiery, but very quick. Of course, the 100 metres lasts barely 10 seconds, but that doesn't mean sponsors can't be looked after.
Coming to you live on the Triple M Worldwide Network, it's time for the Rush Hour, going for gold.
And the second big hour coming up, Lawrence Mooney's. Lawrence Mooney's about to join us. And just as you heard before, Sam, on the news, Chris McKenzie mentioned that at 3:31 p.m. today, NASA's planetary tracker called, what's it called?
The tracker.
It's called Curiosity, touchdown on Mars. And the Parkes Radio Telescope in New South Wales was the first station to receive signals from the red planet. And we've got in an exclusive. This is, we heard this. Yeah, no, what's nothing that, much there. No,
nothing.
I don't think we're hearing much from the red planet.
He's in the new Big Brother house.
Wow. Oh, my God.
It's everywhere.
Wow, that's no evidence of intelligent life, though. In fact, can we listen to some more? Is there,
yeah, we've got some more.
Is there more?
More
audio, that's,
yeah, no. No, they're not picking up anything at all. No, no, hang on. Oh, my God. Aliens with enormous red hands. Oh, my God.
Money well spent, in my opinion, by the Tommy's Quiz and more Olympics coming up this hour.
It's the Rush Hour, 105.1 Triple M. It's the Rush Hour, going for gold, 105.1 Triple M, Santa Chilaro, Sam Pang, Tom Gleisner is here with us.
Thanks, Higo, and it's, well, I'm so excited because the man joining us now is, well, look, you may know him from The Circle, you may know him as Man About Town. I know him as a man in the movie The Cup. He was the starter at Belmont. a very funny man, Lawrence Mooney.
It's very nice to be in here. Thank you very much.
Now, before we actually just get on to the Olympics and what we saw, can I ask, put something to you two chaps? When you're driving in a narrow street and there's not enough room for two cars to get through and you pull in to let the car, the oncoming car, come through, do you always expect a little wave, a little thank you? You do.
Yeah, you? Just a finger off the steering wheel.
Oh, just, yeah, just a bit of a
salute.
A salute.
That's something. I pulled in, okay, and I probably could have gone. I just did the generous one. I went through, yeah, I know that you are. I pulled in. Van comes by, like two, just nothing. Nothing at all. Woman right behind him abuses me. She's just got
for pulling in.
I don't know. She's
for good
just,
measure.
She wound the window down and is having a go at the hand.
Wow.
Oh, she, maybe she knows you. Does she live, does she live in your street?
I think she might listen to this show, perhaps. There's the guy. That's the guy. Now, Lawrence,
take your bins in, Chilaro.
Now, Lawrence, have you been watching the Olympics? Has it taken your eye?
I have been glued to the Olympics through the agency of a child, really. My daughter Lily is 12 years old, and she is really into the Olympics. And so I've kind of relived Montreal. I was 11 years old in Montreal.
They were dark days, Lawrence. But
they were exactly the same as this year. and Moscow. And if you look in the Australian today, it's got the gold medal tallies right back to, I don't know, 1950s. And we're at the end of a boom. We've had our boom and we're busting in London.
Yes.
And so yeah, I have been watching it and really enjoying it.
How have you cushioned the blow to your child, Lawrence?
Lil's really into, she's multicultural. Into she's silver? Egalitarian. Into she loves silver. Because really, gold looks a little bit gauche, doesn't it? Yeah, and everyone's going for white gold now. Wedding bands.
The blow is for us because we're the ones who've lived through the glory days, so we're finding it hard. But if to a 12-year-old, this is just, so you normally come home with a couple of silver and bronze, do you?
My 11-year-old is taking this very badly.
Oh, really?
gone back big time to AFL this weekend. He gave him 5 days and that's it.
Gold.
Well, I had I had an Olympic moment today. I was posting a letter and I bought a stamp, which is, you go into the post office now, you can get a picnic set. I actually went in there to get a stamp and it was of the 4x100 women's freestyle relay.
Yeah.
And and so I'm now part of the long line that have licked them. And they've themed it up at the post office because it tastes like chlorine on the back. So it was really a moving moment.
Aussie Post, Lawrence, that's their gold medal stamp edition that they were putting out at the start of this Olympics. Yeah, they announced that as soon as we won gold, they would put out a stamp. Right. And that, of course, is the only one they've done in 9 days.
The limited edition, I think.
It is very limited. So, yeah.
Well, they are flavouring the back, so I don't want to buy one with the equestrian team on it.
Bang!
Wow, I'm here. I'm really happy that Steve Solomon's made the 400 metres final.
Lovely boy.
Bit of controversy surrounding his selection in the team. John Stephenson was calling it a bit racist that a white man was selected. selected to sprint 400 metres. Has John Stephenson looked at the Olympics? Because you look at 100, 200 and 400 metres. Steve Solomon's the only white guy out there.
Yeah, it's certainly the only redhead there.
Actually, when he wins, it looks like he's being chased by a bunch of black guys.
Lawrence, awesome. I think we have to go to a break. Can you stick around and talk to us a little bit more after this? Thanks, mate.
It's the Rush Hour, going for gold, while JB and Bill are in London on board for this last week and this week. Sandra Chilaro, Sam Pang and Tom Gleisner. And Lawrence Mooney is our guest.
He certainly is. Thank you very much, Higo. And you know you're in trouble. You know you're in trouble in terms of medal tallies when you flip around on your cable television and on the History Channel you hear a promo like this.
Coming soon on the History Channel, the last time we won gold.
And they're off in the women's 4x100-metre freestyle relay.
Rare footage from a bygone era.
Alicia Coutts, the lass from Brisbane, off to a cracking start.
A faded snapshot of forgotten glories.
And Melanie Schlanger, the Nambour Express, touches first. Well done, young lady.
A fascinating time capsule revealing Australia's halcyon past.
And it's gold for Australia. Gold, gold. Surely the first of many in these 2012 London Games.
The last time we won gold. Soon on the History Channel.
And they've actually colourised the footage as well. Oh, wow. So it looks
that
beautiful.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
And
you
it's,
are?
Yeah. And it's hosted by Sonia Kruger, so that's great.
Is she doing that crazy dance? I've been trying to get that dance right. Yeah. Don't try that dance. It's not good for middle-aged men.
You'll hurt yourself. I'll tell you who's dancing now. Tiki Galina from Ethiopia, the winner of the women's marathon last night. Did anyone see?
I don't know whether she's dancing now. I think she's lying down now.
Oh yeah, it was
having a rest.
What about the? My thoughts go out to Tatiana Kiloniak from the Ukraine. How long she lasted? 100 meters.
Oh,
before she was carried off by two soldiers.
Soldiers? Were they? Was she under house arrest? Have they shut down the embassy in London?
listening to Ed's Eddie McGuire's call of that race, it constantly sounded like an elaborate joke. Okay, we've got a Kenyan, a Somalian, and a Russian. They all but went into a bar.
I've been taking a real interest in the women's sports, and I don't know whether it's an age thing, but. Do women have to perform in their underwear at the Olympics?
I was going through that myself.
The diving, the pole vault, the marathon. And I know they haven't got things to, keep tucked in.
Well, I had this discussion with my wife, and we were watching pole vaulting, and she was saying, oh, maybe it's so that no bit of fabric knocks the pole down. Okay, that's fine for pole vaulting. But as you say, marathon running, why wouldn't you just wear a pair of baggy shorts and a singlet?
And what's the excuse for Lucinda Green commentating it in the equestrian? Like, you've got to draw the line somewhere, don't you, Lawrence?
Well, I would have thought, there should be an equestrian event. You know, it's women in their undies, folks, it is just me, okay. Because the pole vault, I think that there's also an element of in women's athletics where they're celebrating their bodies too.
Yeah.
And, you see women walking in the background just, with a wedgie and happily parading around.
What are the officials there for? I don't know what else they're doing.
To police the dress standards.
But somehow the women, the hammer throwers also insist on wearing those clothes.
It's one in all in, I think, Sandra, if we're all going to go the sort of semi-major.
I'd like one of those games, where you mix and match the heads and the bodies. I'd like to match men and women from different sports. I'd like to see a hammer thrower with, a Kenyan marathon. I'd like to match make.
That's nice. That's a great idea.
And I'd like to see an Ethiopian marathon runner running with the body of a shot putter. That would make it a more interesting race for me.
Well, they should have a wild card where they have to grab somebody from one country and just throw them into an event they've never done before.
are you like me? I like especially not so much in the swimming, but in the track and field, the interviews afterwards. Did you see Usain Bolt after the race today? He said... at the very end of the Australia with Tony Jones, he said...
If you're going to quote, you have to do it in a Caribbean accent, Santo.
Thanks a lot.
Come on, man.
I want to say to all the Australian people, I'm coming to vacation in September. Look out.
Wow.
Now, I think what he meant to say, I want to say to all the Australian girls.
Yes, young ladies.
All the Australian... I don't think so. And straight after, did you hear Johan Blake...
The
silver medalist. Yep. Have we got a bit of Johan Blake in a post-match interview? This is how he talks.
Johan, a personal best and just a fantastic race.
Well, definitely. I've been continuing my form from day go.
growing up in a good, great farm. In London, I've tried to get back to live in London, which is hard and all, but it's great to coming out here today around 1982. I can't do anything, but I've just done my mind it, and yes, I'm silent now. I love to be around him, and he helped me when I come out and chat mentally also.
Well, many, many congratulations. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I got many, many congratulations.
I think I got 9.8.
I'm pretty excited, man.
I got 9.82, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but
he's really reinforcing a racial stereotype there with his Jamaican accent.
He's actually from New Zealand, so that's quite extraordinary. Really. Quite extraordinary.
His race face was of a 5-year-old boy at an athletics. He had the grimacing.
He did.
Where Usain didn't do a lot of showmanship on that race. He was running the whole way this morning.
Yes, he was no performance.
And looking at him, and still had time to look at himself on the screen, isn't it?
Yeah, do they watch to see if anyone's coming on that screen, or is it just complete absorption?
Or is that my best side? Yeah. They do look up, and then they, as they're running, they also look down at the time.
I think
they do both. Amazing skilling, yeah. Absolutely. And one man who must be very happy is a London Mayor, Boris Johnson, with the
Boris Johnson is just absolutely fabulous. I think he's a great ambassador for London. And he came onto our radar back in Beijing when the mayor of the succeeding team or city accepts kind of like the keys from the Olympic.
Yeah.
And he said, England is the home of table sports, and so ping pong is coming home. And he's famous for his quotes. And when the Olympic flame or the torch arrived in London for its final lap, it went to the Tower of London. Mm. And there was an official dinner that night. And Boris Johnson got up and said, as King Henry VIII said, who was ill-famed for beheading a lot of his wives in the Tower of London, as King Henry VIII said, it's a great place to keep an old flame. But ours will be alive and shining brightly tomorrow.
Thank you, Boris.
Lawrence, can you please stick around? Because we're having Tommy G's quiz is coming up. Do you fancy your chances?
I want to be hot on the buzzer.
Well, hang around with us then.
It's the Rush Hour, going for gold, 105.1 at Triple M. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, Sam Pang, Tom Gleisner, Sandra Chilaro, and Lawrence Mooney is our guest.
Higher, stronger, faster, gooder. Yes, it's time now for the Rush Hour's Olympic Quiz.
Triple M is in no way affiliated with or officially sanctioned by the Olympic Games, its athletes, events or official partners, formally recognised by the IOC.
And here's your quizmaster, Tom Gleisner.
And the quiz cannot start until we've gone through the formality of testing our buzzers. Santo.
I'm in business.
Sam. Lawrence. Wow.
It's very farmer's wants a wife, isn't it?
They have to date
farmer,
each other.
Farmer all right. Wants a wife. What does farmer want? Wants rainfall, wants subsidies from the government.
Wheat prices.
Bugger off, farmer. Bring peaches down.
I'm serious here. Let's get going.
Sorry, Sam. Sam has been stuck. All right.
You get serious when you got half a point on Friday's quiz. So this is it. Here we go.
And that was Ego being kind. Mm. What is a men's omnium? Sam.
Is that something Tom Liberatore was found with?
Incorrect. Lawrence.
No, I think it's the part when you've ridden for a long time that gets very sore, your omnium.
Oh, yes, I've got a sore omnium. I reckon it's a cycling event, guys. Give me some points.
Indeed. It's a combination of cycling events. If that makes – no, it doesn't. Okay. What three sports have Australia not competed in at these Olympics?
Oh, just three.
Lawrence.
Swimming.
I'm going to give him a point for that.
Cycling.
Let's go.
No.
Sam?
I'll say okay. Swimming again. I've got a great reaction. Thanks. Swimming.
Fencing.
Correct.
We don't have a European handballer.
Correct.
Mm. Oh, that's good. And have we got someone from the Greco-Roman?
We've got someone in there. She's very.
What was going to be your third?
Football.
Oh, I think he's got it.
He's got it.
I was going to jump into football.
I think that's 3 points, Higa.
Oh, yes. three for Sam.
I'll take him.
100 metres winner Usain Bolt did not break a world record. What record did he break?
Did he break a record?
Olympic record, I would say.
Correct. Santo, 1 point. Gee, we're getting serious today.
I thought he might have broken wind. Goat curry is the national dish of
at
Jamaica.
At the 50-metre mark. After winning, Bolt gave his famous pose. What is the pose called, Lawrence?
A mental man swatting bees.
Or yes. Also known as, anyone else?
Is it actually called something?
Yeah, it's called... Yeah.
It's called the lightning bolt.
It's called To the World. It's called his To the World pose.
Wow. I want to see. So he sticks out one hand. Is that what he does in the old video? I want to see a guy up by a signal a point like that.
Why was St. Kitts and never sprinter Kim Collins dropped from the 100 metres team?
Sam, I covered this earlier, Tommy. He met up with his wife the night before.
No, not just the night. Three nights, I think, in the hotel with his wife.
Wow, well. He loves her very much.
He came out of the blocks very slowly, I'm told. Okay, who is
really?
Who
salacious?
Who is the fastest woman in the world? Lawrence.
Liesl Jones.
Oh, did you say fastest?
There was a typo in your ear, was there?
Anyone?
Moving? Woman, it's, no.
Edging away. It's Jamaican.
Sorry, Liesl.
She's got double hyphenated. Shelly-Ann Fraser-Price is, in fact, won that women's 100 metres.
What happens when she has a kid? Do they do triple hyphens at some point? Is there a limit to how many hyphens you can
Well, just ask the English rowing team.
Yes, they're all figured and bolts and stuff, aren't they?
They've saved. Well,
all right.
We can row really fast.
Yeah. Let's not be bitter because we've
Let's
got
be
a right
bitter.
To be. Who
They've
is,
got our coach.
Who is the heaviest competitor at this year's Olympic Games? Right.
I'm saying right.
Sam, come on.
Sam, Santa?
Is it the girl from Italy in the
the
Casanova?
The captain of the Italian water
polo team?
No. No.
I didn't give an answer. I said, was it?
Is it?
So you shouldn't take a point away.
Sorry. Is it the Hungarian hammer thrower?
No.
Who is?
Free hit.
Nah. And I'm not competing this year, so it's not me.
Nah.
It is, in fact, Ricardo Blas Jr. of Guam in the judo. He comes in at 218 kilograms.
Which is heavier than some of the horses in the equestrian, apparently. That is
All
impressive.
Right, and for a bonus point, what is his nickname? Ricardo Blas?
Tiny?
No.
Lawrence?
Slim?
No. It's the Little Mountain. That's quite all right.
Probably what he writes down when he enters a country.
How are we going to time? All right. Why was German rower Nadja Drigala sent home? Santo.
Trying to conceal an outboard motor in the back of her boat. No?
Anyone? Sam.
Meeting up with Kim Collins' wife the night before the race.
Her boyfriend is a member of a far-right neo-Nazi group.
They're tough, aren't they?
Not as One Direction. All right, what unusual footwear is used by South African runner Oscar Pistorius? Lawrence.
He wears blades.
He does indeed.
Because he's a double amputee.
Carbon fibre blades, 1 point there. Mm. American swimmer Ryan Lochte has admitted that he often does what in the pool during warm-ups?
Oh, no.
He does not, does he?
I thought they usually gave samples after the...
Is after that your race. Answer, Santa? Because...
Does he? Yes.
Yes.
He says. Give me a point.
Pees in the pool.
He admitted he pees in the pool. There we go.
Oh, my. All
right. Okay. One last question then. What did rower Drew Gin do after his team came in second? Well, Sam?
Peed in the pool.
I reckon he started rowing.
Lawrence, free hit.
He cried.
He cried. Another silver winner in tears. Here you go. What's our score tally?
Santo has come in with 3, Lawrence 2, and our winner, Sam, on 4.
Sam, thank you. Congratulations. Well, you've won a job coaching Port Adelaide for the rest of 2012.
Thank you very
Enjoy
much.
Enjoy.
Have you got a signature sign that you do, and what's its name?
It's called the Bolt. And I'll show you later.
And look, we've got to thank Lawrence Mooney for coming in. And Lawrence, congratulations on your new show coming up on ABC 2 next week.
Kane and Disabled will be featuring on ABC 2, 7:25, I think it goes to air for the first time, Sam, on August the
16th.
Sam's in it as well. I've seen promos for this. Hilarious. So this is happening during the Paralympics, is that correct?
In the lead up to the Paralympics. Basically, it's Lawrence, myself, and 10 of our real-life Paralympians for 5 minutes every week. So just every episode. So just, yeah.
And there's a lot of fun and hilarity, and I play Ernie Kane, who's a man that only ever sees the disability.
That's a good way to put it. Lawrence, thanks for dropping in, mate.
Thank you.
This is the Rush Hour, going for gold on 105.1 at Triple M, in for JB and Bill. We've got Santo Chilaro and Sam Pang. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Tommy Gleisner as well, Higo. But now, just before we keep going with Olympic, Santo, a massive weekend of AFL news. As a Collingwood supporter, I just want to ask you, what is the biggest story
coming from the weekend for you. Andrew Cracker's return.
Right.
Or Brett McCaffrey's beard. Which
that is a decent beard.
It's a very decent beard.
Was he a bushranger at some point? He
That's where he did his rehab. Some people they send to Germany and get blood transfusions. With McCaffrey, they just send him to the bush. So
yeah.
That's and of course we had Damien Barrett on earlier with the massive news from.
I'm disappointed. We never got to call him purple.
You calling him purple would have been the highlight of our time here so far. This is just a little a statement released today on the back of that. I'm deeply sorry for my actions and want to sincerely apologise to everyone, especially my family, teammates, supporters and all those connected for my stupidity. I feel devastated that I've let my team and my club down.
Obviously, that's Tom Liberatore.
Now, that's Stephen Milne after Saturday night's absolute debacle.
Did you hear that? I watched that incident. That was very clear on the microphones, wasn't it?
Very big night. Anyway, Collingwood, well done.
Anyway, back to the Olympics.
I don't want to drag us back to the medal tally, but it's not looking good.
The medal tally, it's like, you know, when you're looking at the... it's the inverse of looking at how the dollar's going for Australia.
Yes, yeah.
Because in the early parts of the Olympics, we were fifth... Even though you always knew that was a little bit of, and then we were 7th and 16th, 19th, 24th? We're in the top 25. That's the good
that's
news.
Good. That's a good time.
But is it,
all the chest thumping of that we get through Commonwealth Games, that's obviously well gone by now. But
is it really that bad?
Yeah.
I mean, really, there's one gold, 12 silver, that's enormous, 7 bronze, and that's an enormous amount of medals.
Well, this is the thing, Santo, it's that is silver fantastic, like you're suggesting we should celebrate it, it's amazing 12, or is silver a failure?
Well, it depends on the actual athlete, because if they do think that they're the best in the world, then, you know, and it drives them to the next point, then that's fine. But if you're there and you're doing your PBs and it ends up being a silver, you can't be upset with that.
Mitchell Watt, who got a silver in the men's long jump, tweeted today, and he was so angry he had to break the tweet into two parts because you get to the 140 character limit.
You know it's serious if it's a two-parter, Tom.
And to all the media that have said I came up short, that I'm shattered, that I failed to win gold, that Australia is underperforming, wait for next tweet. Do you understand how hard it is to win Olympic gold? I'm happy. My coach, family, friends and teammates are happy for me.
Right, okay.
That's the statement.
So
he's getting annoyed that we're kind of projecting onto, well, you must be shattered. You must be devastated.
Well, I just wonder whether the whole tweeting thing is actually becoming a distraction, which is, I think Susie O'Neill may have said.
Yes.
In fact, I heard someone was describing Kim Crowe as being so dedicated that she hasn't tweeted or been on Facebook for the last 6 weeks, as if that in itself isn't an amazing feat.
Hey. There is a theory with a tweet. You know, you think, why don't they just say to all the athletes, no social media for the time in the village? Telstra. Big sponsor, they want them to keep tweeting.
Right, so it is actually...
Hey, just a theory?
Are you saying that Kim Crowe hasn't updated her Facebook status for six weeks? Is that what you just told me then?
That's what the man on the television
McKenzie
said.
How is McKenzie not leading with that in the 5 o'clock news?
I don't know what to talk about
him. It's massive.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to congratulate Kazakhstan. Okay, now they've got. Tom, look at the medal tally. Are they 6 gold, no silver, no bronze?
They'd be in that. Yes, five gold, no silver, no bronze.
Now that's clever program. They're just going, if you're not going to win, you're not going.
Stop.
but it is. Yeah. They're actually saying we're not going to send a lot of people on spec.
Just 5
just
really good ones.
5 really good ones.
The idea that you've actually been affected by this silver is interesting to me, because on Saturday, they're calling it Super Saturday over there in Great Britain. They had 6 gold medals.
Mm, yes.
And, well, as many Triple M listeners are, I'm a staunch monarchist. Yes. And I took a lot of happiness and pride out of Saturday so that their 6 gold medals was fine.
Absolutely. Well, I think we should let the great man himself, Jimmy Barnes, sum it up. No one can tell you exactly what you have got to be. You've got to stand your ground and fight to save your life. It may be hard, but it's the only way. Always remembering there ain't no second prize.
Is that off the Soul Deeper or Soul Deeper?
I prefer Guy Sebastian. I'm not sure about that, Tom.
As we do the rush hour, going for gold, Santo Chilaro, Sam Pang and Tom Gleisner.
And we've reached the end of the show. Special thanks to Danny Frawley, Damien Barrett, Lawrence Mooney, and there's a lot of Olympics coming up tonight, boys. Sam, as you said, for Great Britain, it was Super Saturday. Yesterday for Australia, it was Slim Pickens Sunday. But I reckon tonight, I genuinely think things will change. I reckon 3 golds in the sailing. Watch out for those. And I also reckon a gold for Michael Diamond in the men's traps. I reckon four gold medals tonight.
Well,
keep your eyes on those.
I will. I'll be watching Modern Family at 8 o'clock. That's just a cracking show.
On.
No, no. Well, Sally Pearson in the 100-meter hurdle. She starts her campaign tonight, so I think that's a real medal chance there, Tom.
And I'm with you, Santo. Michael Diamond, he shot a perfect opening round in the men's trap. Hopefully tonight he can win a medal or at least severely wound a British opposition member.
Join us again tomorrow on the Rush Hour, Going for Gold. Thank you, Tom.